This program was first broadcast on Toro Radio 1575 Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening. I'm Calvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program this evening. And we've been doing a number of studies calling Exploring the Bible. In our study of Exploring the Bible, we've gone through a number of things, starting from the very beginning. We've gone through this Bible, the inspired word of God, in the beginning, creation of man, the entry of sin into the world. We've dealt with Cain and Abel, the lesson of acceptable worship to God, the flood of Noah's day, and we've also dealt with Abraham, a friend of God, justified by faith and a father of many nations. We've followed the nation of history through the scriptures, how they've gone into Egypt and came out of Egypt, entered into the promised land, how the nation was divided after the times of David, when they disobeyed the Lord and they were taken away captive into Babylon. All these things are showing that, from the scriptural point of view, that God has a wonderful plan with this world and mankind upon it, and he's using this nation of Israel to work his way through. He's chosen certain people, and in that line of choosing those people from the fallen Eden, he's promised a seed that would come, that eventually obey him in all things, would be a sacrifice and a suffering for mankind, and through him we could be redeemed into a glorious kingdom, free from the way of sin and death. So what we've seen in the scriptures, we've seen this promised seed spoken of from Genesis. Also to Abraham this promised seed was promised. Still the promise went on through his son Isaac and Jacob. David was promised that a son would sit on the throne of his father David. And then we also have the word from the angel that spoke to Mary, saying that the child that be born of her would sit upon that throne of David in Jerusalem. So as we see also in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 4, we see the genealogy of Jesus Christ, how it's come through in time. He is that promised one. And what we're looking at in these scriptures, we're looking at the fulfillment. He promised and said, asked us to pray for that kingdom to come to be set up on earth. He is the one that will be king, sitting on the throne of David, ruling over all nations. We've gone through many scriptures showing the promised expectation for the Lord Jesus Christ that God has made for him. And in our studies this evening, we're coming to the third part of the coming kingdom of God. We've broke it up into three parts. The first part we had was returning of Jesus and the state of the nations, the moral side of mankind, and the state of the world as it is, as we notice today, spoken from the scriptures, which is leading up and spoken of as the latter days, the time of the end, coming up to the day of the Lord, when Jesus shall be returned to this earth to set up that kingdom. The scriptures we showed were spoken of from the Old Testament. We see in Daniel, we see in Ezekiel, we see in Joel, we see in Zechariah, and also many others. They're all speaking about a certain time, future, when the nations would get to a state that we see today leading to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel and Daniel and Jeremiah, we see that the nation of Israel was promised to return in the latter days, prior to the Lord Jesus Christ's coming. We read in Ezekiel 38 how they are to be dwelling safely until a time when a king of the north. Nations are illustrated in Ezekiel 38. All those nations above will come down upon Israel. And other nations that have always stood by Israel will ask that king of the north, art thou come to take a spoil? Well, we can see these things leading in the nations today. Israel is the focal point of many things throughout the world, many issues revert round to them. And therefore, they are a sign that God is working in the world. Watch Israel. Always watch Israel to see what's happening there. There are many other problems occurring in the world, sure, we know that. But Israel is where God has set his name, in Jerusalem. So once again, all nations are called upon, will be called upon to accept Jesus Christ when he returns as King and Lord. Once Jesus Christ, together with his faithful servants, have suppressed any military power from the north against Israel, especially it's referred to in Russia in Ezekiel 38, and the King of the North, the proclamation will go forth to all nations to acknowledge Christ as King and Lord. This proclamation calls upon nations to submit to Christ and God, is spoken of in Revelations. And it says there, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of the waters." In Revelations 14. See, God is the creator of this world. He's the author of it. He's the manager, the owner, the proprietor, say. He's created all things upon it. And therefore he's created a wonderful plan. And through the fall of mankind at the beginning, he's created that wonderful plan of salvation that comes through Jesus. He's promised to set up a glorious kingdom upon this earth. And David likewise prophesied of this time. He said, "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little," in Psalm 2. There's an awful lot of scriptures promising goodness and time, equality, prosperity, joyfulness, happiness. And how much of it do we really see upon the world today? That's what families want. Families want that peace, joy, security. Security is sometimes it comes and sometimes it goes. At the moment it seems to be going. And this is prophesied from the word of God, that there would be a time of trouble such as never was, ever since there was a nation. It also speaks of a lot of people, unfortunately, that have a misunderstanding of the scriptures of God. And they need to, well, that's why we do these programs. We ask you to look at those scriptures, to see what Jesus said, what he said when he was on earth here, what he came to do, how he obeyed, how he made that, you know, died for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And to say that he has a wonderful kingdom to set up on this earth. He will fulfill the Jewish hope of a Messiah on earth. He will fulfill the Gentile hope of a king being the same, the one and the same, ruling from Jerusalem. And therefore, when he sent the disciples and the apostles out to preach the gospel, you know, most of those ones at that time in the early first century were martyred for what they tried to teach and to show was true and right. And I think when you see the mark of these men, that they died for their cause, just like Jesus died for the cause he was here for, they had something that was really special, and that it is special that we keep it special. We don't dilute it down, we don't change it, we keep it right. And not misinterpret it. I mean, if God is, well, for example, look at the Apostle Paul. It says that he spoke none other things than the things concerning Jesus and the kingdom of God to all that came in and spoke to see him. Now, if we understand that a different understandings of Jesus, a different understanding of the kingdom of God, does that make us all right? Remember, they all martyred themselves for what was right. And as Paul says to the Galatians, if anyone speak any other gospel than the one I preach unto you, I am an angel, even from heaven, let him be accursed. So there's a special understanding, a special level that we have to cross over to come into a clear understanding and acceptance by God. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. Now that's a plain statement from Jeremiah chapter 3. Jerusalem will be the capital for the kingdom and will be acknowledged as such by all nations. Jeremiah 3:17 and 18. You get your pen out, take note of these. We sometimes haven't got time to go through all these quotations, but they're valuable quotations, and you need to look at them to see the context they're referring to, and get it deep in your heart and understand that this is the Word of God. All Scripture, it says, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in doctrine and in righteousness, so that the man of God will be thoroughly perfect unto all good works. As capital, Jerusalem, it will be the center from which both righteous laws for the nations and the teaching of God's ways shall go forth. In fact, all nations will go up from year to year to worship the King, Jesus Christ, and to learn of his ways. There's Prophet Isaiah and Micah speak very clearly, it's very similar in their words actually. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Well, remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, the God of Israel. And he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You know, there's another place where it says they'll beat their swords into plowshares, and man will not learn war anymore. Wouldn't that be lovely? And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. All nations will be subject to Jesus' rule. I'd like you to just listen as I read this portion, from, take a note of it yourself too, from Revelations 11. Remember, the book of Genesis, it means beginning. The book of Revelations mean those revealed things that were going to come to pass. And like any book, it's the conclusion. It's the last chapter, the last chapters. 11:15. Anyway, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Christmas time. Quite often you hear the Messiah, by Handel's Messiah, and the Hallelujah chorus being sung by many beautiful choirs around the world. Wonderful singing. It's a wonderful piece of work. King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign for ever and ever. I wish people would look at those words that those singers are singing, and think, is it just a mythology? Is it just a dream? Does it not have something deeper than that, a fruition coming, a reality? It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Wonderful. All nations be subject to Christ's rule, with Israel's particular under the rulership of the 12 apostles. That's an interesting bit, really, because a lot of people think this, the kingdom of God is in heaven. It's not on earth, but the kingdom will be on earth. Jesus refers to his apostles. He says there in Matthew 19 and verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, I'll just start away before, if you like. They were discussing things. When his disciples heard it, they were amazed. Oh, that's right. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So it means the rich man, he's got issues, he's got trouble, it's a hard, he's got his love in different directions. That's what he's meaning. Then he says, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who can be saved? But Jesus answered them and said, with men that is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Which showing that we can't earn it. And that's what Jesus shows us by his sacrifice. We associate ourselves with the sacrifice. We can be associated with it because we can't earn it. It is by grace. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. And what shall we have therefore? And then listen to this. And then Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, remember that, on the throne of David, ye also, the 12 apostles, shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There was 12 tribes of Israel. The nation was divided into those 12 lots. And that's what they've been promised. So it's a reality. It's not just a dream or maybe a wish. These are factual things that Jesus is saying. We must accept them. Not maybes and that. I mean, he is our Savior. He speaks of the Old Testament. He speaks of Moses and the law. And when he speaks of Moses and the law, well, surely the Moses and the law is what was said is true at that time. And the things concerning himself that was prophesied about him. And then but let's just read on here. We better keep our program going. Sorry, in this kingdom, that the 12 apostles ruling 12 tribes of Israel, but there'll be this temple built in Mount Zion of Jerusalem. In Ezekiel, from about chapter 40 to 48, I think it is, massive measurements. It's really quite mind-boggling, even for an architect. But this is going to be a house of prayer for all nations. Built in Jerusalem, and all nations shall come there to learn of God and to worship him. And Isaiah 56:7, it says that. A house of prayer for all nations. The nations will come up joyfully, and those who refuse will suffer, the prophet Zechariah tells us. The details of this temple are set out, as I said before, in the last chapters of Ezekiel. From these details, we can gain a mental picture of a glorious building in which the Lord Jesus Christ will officiate. When people come up to worship, and the effect of this kingdom will bring righteousness and peace to the earth. Mankind cannot rule himself. He tries, and a lot of very sincere people are prepared to do enormous things, to move as much as they can, to set it up. But we are subject to certain things from the fall in Eden, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We are subject to sin. We may mean well, but we also know that there are a certain number of people in our societies and roundabout that don't mean well. They're selfish. They think about themselves, pride, and they go to such enormous lengths. And we've had many a dictator on this planet that has done those things. We've had the Hitlers. We've had Stalin. We've had many over the years. Some of the Herods, some of Julius Caesar. We've had many there. They've been ruthless in some of their ruling. Sennacherib of Assyria, from Nineveh. We had Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. We've had many of them. We've even had some of the kings of Israel. They weren't too good themselves. Didn't obey God. But a word picture of this kingdom is spoken of in Psalm 72. And I plead with you and ask you to read that in your leisure, to see the wonderful equality in the things that are spoken of there, that are promised to come upon this world. See, when Jesus went out preaching to the kingdom of God, when he was on earth, the only scriptures he had to show what he was meaning and things like that was from the Old Testament. And he referred to the Psalms many times, even about himself too, because there's many Psalms that refer to him. He spoke about Moses and the prophets. He spoke about Noah. He spoke about Lot. He spoke about Adam. You know, remember that he that made them in the beginning made them male and female, he says. So many things Jesus said from that Old Testament. We must never discard it. This is a complete book, 66 books. So how long is this kingdom going to be? The Apostle Paul states that Christ is to reign on earth till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So what's death? What do you mean, why death? Because sin brings forth death. We're subject to death because we sin. And when you really cop and think about it, it's probably just as well, isn't it? Sin brings forth death. The gift of his gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. When all things are subject to Christ, then he will deliver up the kingdom to God, that God will be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15. Then truly the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, as spoken of in Numbers. It's spoken of somewhere else, I've just lost it. It's Habakkuk, a prophet Habakkuk. He spoke, truly the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, they've said. So as sure as the waters cover the sea, this will be filled with the glory of the Lord. There's a lot of wonderful things of the Lord that are on earth, sure. But if you're up there and seeing the suffering and the pain and the oppression and the misery of so many people on this earth, and it's getting larger every day as resources are being struggled for, even the rich nations are starting to struggle for these things, and the semi-rich people that live in those societies are losing jobs and suffering, and the poor people at the bottom that haven't even got jobs in some of the undeveloped countries, they are way down the line. The period of duration of this kingdom is given to us in Revelations. There we learn that Christ and his immortal saints will reign for 1,000 years. Revelations 20, verse 4 to 6. Interesting. About the third last chapter of the Bible. Throughout this period, the mortal population of the earth will have the opportunity to show forth faithful obedience and service to God. See, there will be a mortal population in that time too. They'll have the opportunity to serve Christ. And they're spoken of in the Revelations as a second resurrection. There's a resurrection, you see, when Jesus returns for the work for us now living in faith in Christ. Whether we've done good or whether we've done bad, there'll be a judgment. There'll be a reward. There'll be punishment for others. But let's think of the positive side of things. We've been promised this. It's up to us to appreciate that wonderful promise and to show forth our lives as servants of Christ and mirroring the things that he did. A description of some of the changes that will take place with the associated blessings that will be experienced by the mortal population when harmony exists between man and his environment is given in several places of Scripture. Isaiah 6:11 verses 4 to 9 is a wonderful little section. 4 to 9. Just have a wee look at my clock there. I've got to keep going here, don't I? 4 to 9. There's a 65, 17 to 25, and Amos 9, 11 to 15. The period of 1,000-year reign of Christ will conclude with the final resurrection and the gathering to judgment of those who have lived during the period of the kingdom. This event is described in Revelations 20. We notice that at the conclusion of this judgment, death and hell, the grave, were cast into the lake and fire. You see, hell is the grave. Death, that's where you end up. Sin, if we go back. Sin brings forth death. Death goes to hell. Go to the grave. It's cast into the lake of fire. It's destroyed. There'll be no more death, it says in 21, Revelation 21, 4. For mortality will be taken away from the earth. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. For the former things are passed away. At this time, as Paul foretold, God will be all in all. See, because when we've got sin, we've got suffering, we've got pain, we've got sorrow, we've got crying, we have death, which is more pain and sorrow and lost ones. But at the end, there'll be none of that. The kingdom of God on earth will be a stepping stone toward the fulfillment of that glorious ultimate purpose that God had from the very beginning, to fill the earth with his glory. From the above overview, we now have an idea, an understanding of what this glorious kingdom of God that God has promised will be. We're told by the scriptures, the prophetic word is sure. We have the sure word of prophecy, the Apostle Peter tells us. We have Daniel telling us that the things concerning the prophecy are sure and they will come to pass. And when we look at those, we can follow it, because if we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking for his return to relieve all the restless suffering in this world. And looking for our salvation, I suppose, too. That's part of it, sure, because that's what we've been promised. We're associated to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. With faith in the sure word of God and the hope that it offers, we now can enter fully into the spirit of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as we await that day, the day that God has promised, it is our privilege and responsibility to respond to him in faith and obedience. Remember he said there, "If you are my friends, you'll do whatsoever I ask you." The Apostle Peter encouraged his disciples in his day, and likewise us today, when he said, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail or fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is what's promised. It's not just a myth, a dream, or something to keep us focused in life as a bit of fun, to be called good people and get a street name after us or something like that, or an award for the world. No. We're to be separate from the world and those glories that people go for. Just glancing at a few summary things. In Acts chapter 1, "The same Jesus which is taken up into heaven, so shall come as you have seen him go into heaven," they're told, it is written there. Daniel 2:44 talks about the kingdom of God. 2:44, I might just read a couple of those verses. That's a promise, a prophecy after a big Daniel. Here we are. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and stand forever." And then he says at the bottom, he says, "And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." See, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had this mighty dream of a great big image, and it was represented in different metals at the top, and he was shown to be the gold on the top, on the head. But when all these metals come together and they stand upright, which is of all the kingdoms of the world, the main kingdoms of the world from that time on till now, it will fall down, because it's spoken of as a little stone that will knock it down. And we know that that little stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will knock the kingdoms of men down and set up a glorious kingdom, the kingdom of God. Also have a note in the parable of Jesus when he was going up to Jerusalem, that they wanted to make him king, his disciples did, but no, he wouldn't. It was not the time. He had to go away, and that's what he said in Luke 19:11-27. He had to depart and then return at a later date. We have another point there, that prior to the return of Jesus, the world would continue to decline to depths of immorality, similar to those in the days that God's wrath and the Noah's flood and Lot. Now, you can read of that in Genesis 6 and that, but then also we read in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, and I think it's Mark 13 too, a similar things that Jesus is saying about his second coming, when he's telling them to watch and be ready, watch and be ready. He is so concerned about this, the disciples and friends and followers of his, that they would be led away through some other dream or some other ideology that would take their heart away from the real thing, the return of Jesus, when they can be free from the way of sin and death in that wonderful kingdom. He says, watch, 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 I think it is in Matthew 13, that three or four times, to be ready, pray, pay attention. The prophets give detailed accounts of the invasion of Israel and the Jerusalem by a northern confederacy under Russia. We haven't got too much time to speak on Russia at the moment. We're down to, you know, time is nearly gone. But we've gone through lots of things. We might just have a wee top up on the end of this. We haven't got many more lessons to finish in this. So, pleased to be talking to you tonight and being able to expound on some of these things for you, to show that there is hope out there in this wonderful day of darkness. There is hope, but it is only through the scriptures, the plan of God, through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you want further information on any of these subjects, you can log on to www.findthelight.org, or you could write to us at Christadelphians, P.O. Box 595, Dunedin, or even write to myself personally, Kelvin Lyon, Christadelphian, RD2, Waitati, New Zealand. Okay, thank you very much. God bless you in your efforts to do those things that are pleasing and never depart from the Word of God. It's all there. The only book that really has the final message of real message of hope. Thank you very much. Good night.
This program was first broadcast on Torah Radio 1575 Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.